Is it a two-parter?
Yeah. Okay, we're both saying. The,
No idea.
Where's the official tape recorder?
You didn't have a draft.
Oh, okay, Barbara. All right. We're all
different.
It is.
Okay.
Forward. So, we're actually moving full speed ahead now, because we're going to cover three almost all at once. Zoram, Borir, and Merakit. The Gemara points out that they all seem sort of similar. Let's just review how they used to make bread in the old days. Right, first they would do Disha, right, that's what we finished. So they would step on all the bread, and the kernels would fall out of the, husks, which were attached to the straw. Right, so it would be sort of the straw, the like stem, you know, the little husk, and then there'd be a kernel of wheat. So then they would have to separate that. To do that, they invented this great idea. They just threw it up in the air, in the wind, and the wind blows light objects farther and heavy objects closer. So all the heavy wheat kernels would land in a pile very close by, and all the light straw, you know, straw is very light, would land in a pile far away. So that would be separating. That was Zohar. Then Borir, they would have pebbles in the rocks and dirt in the wheat kernels that were also heavy, so they landed with the wheat kernels. They would take those out. Then Tochin, they would grind the kernels. When they ground it, then there would be the fine flour and the coarse flour. There would be, you know, finer particles and larger particles. And actually, it's the finer particles that weren't so good here. And then they would sift it to sift the fine from the coarse, the larger from the smaller particles. So that was Zohar, Bor, and Merakit. It all seems sort of similar because they're all separating the good from the bad. And the Gemara, of course, asked Akasha and answers that really in Hanami, Zohar, Bor, and Merakit are the same, and they could have even been counted as one, except since they were all Chashiv in the Mishkan, so they were counted as three. So really, they are the same idea. In Hanami, they're just counted as three. Of Azvacha, nonetheless, we all know. We all know that Gemara. The question is, so let's just Lamaisa. So what does that mean? So it means they're all the same idea, which is why the poskim in general is that you don't see. I don't know, maybe Avraham Ribia does. But in general, you know, I don't think you see people like give a whole different like rules for Zohra and for Borer and for Merake. The assumption seems to be that it's all basically the same principles. It's all the same halachas. So we should learn all the halachas at once. I think that's the makobal way to do things. But, Taka, what is the difference between Zohar, Bor, and Merake? I mean, we understand they're all the same idea. They're all the same basic principles, let's assume. They're just counted as three because in the Mishkan, they were three different things. Okay, but how do you decide what counts as what based on what happened in the Mishkan? You know, let's say you're not making wheat. Or I guess then it was Samlanim. So how do you know what's Zohar, what's Bor, and what's Merake? So here, the Igle Tal summarizes the sugya. Seems to be machlokes to be shown. So how do we know what's Zohar, what's Borer, what's Merake? The more famous opinion is what? Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel seems to imply it depends on how you do it. Zohar is using the wind to separate. Now he doesn't say explicitly, I'm telling you the difference between Zohar, Borer, and Merake. But he explains to you what they are. Says Zohar is when you use the wind to separate. Borer is when you use your hands to separate, and Merakit is when you use a kli to separate, like a sifter of some sort. That's, I think, really more commonly known opinion. Rabbeinu Hananel says wind, hand, kli. Very posh. That's how you know what fits into Zohar, what fits into Borer, what fits into Merakit. Rashi, however, on Daf Ayin Hamad Beis, seems to say a little differently, because when Rashi wants to say that Zohar, Borer, Merakit, like why they're different, right, he could have said Zeb Ruach, Zeb Yad, Zeb Kli, but instead he says something a little more cryptic. He says, "This is removing straw, Zeb Kushin, Zeb Tzuros, Zeb Bekemach. This is removing straw, this is removing pebbles, and this is removing the flour." So Rashi doesn't really give us a full answer because Rashi says, "Well, the difference is, are you taking out straw, pebbles, or flour, or separating flour?" He doesn't really tell us how to apply that to other cases. So, Lemaisa, the Igle Tal, points out that even though Rabbeinu Hananel is a much nicer shot, just pashut, Zohar is with wind, Borer is with hand, Merakit is with a kli, while Rashi is a much more difficult pshat, much more clumsy pshat, straw versus pebbles versus flour. I mean, what if you're sorting something that has neither straw nor pebbles nor flour? Then Rashi doesn't really, like, give you a good rule to apply. But Taka, for precisely that reason, the Iglital says that Rashi's more likely to be correct. Because Rabbeinu Chananel has a big problem from the Gemara later on. In the beginning of the 20th parak, in Daf Kof Lamed Ches, Gemara asks, Mishamer, Mishamay Masrin, what's the Av Malacha Mishamer? That's all sugya there without getting into it. What's the Av Malacha of Mishamer? Mishamer means when you have sediment, that's the, and we don't have it so much, but sometimes if wine, like, that's really whatever, you have that sort of gook on the bottom. So if you have that sediment, when they made wine from grapes, they always had that gook, right? That was what was left of the grapes. So you could always strain that and get wine out of the sediment, right? If you put it in a strainer, the wine will drip out. So anyway, so which avalach is that? What do you give hasra for? And it's a machlokasach yamarah between Rab and Rav Yosef, I believe, whether it's called merakid or it's called borer. Machlokas rishonim, whether machlokas between merakid and borer or between merakid and either one. But in any case, the machlokas whether it's called merakid or borer, and each one gives their answers, which in themselves are complicated. We'll have to come back to, but. Sorry, it's Rabba and Rav Zeira. I apologize. Rabba said it's like borer because you take the ochel and leave the psoles just like borer. And Rav Zeira says, no, it's like merakid because the psoles stays up and the ochel goes down just like merakid. So, no one says, the most obvious point, it's like merakid because it's a clay. You're straining with the strainer. Right? So, no one says that. Neither the Mandamar Borer. The Mandamar Borer says, it's like Borer, you're taking the food out of Psolas. The other Mandamar says, no, it's like Meraki. You have the food on the bottom and the Psolas on top. No one just says it's like Meraki because you use a kli. So, unless you want to be Nidchak and try to stick that into the Gemara, the Pashas of this Gemara is that, not like the Rav. The Pashas of this Gemara, that's what the Avital says, sounds more like Rashi, that really the difference between Zorah, Borer, and Merakid is actually very difficult, because the only difference is there are different malachas done with wheat. And if you want to apply them to anything else, it's going to be very tricky, because you have to figure out in what ways is it similar to Merakid of wheat, and what ways is it similar to Borer of wheat. But there's no really good rule of thumb for applying that to anything but wheat with straw, pebbles, or bran in the flour. So, nice. Anyway, that's a locus. Obviously, Rabbeinu Chananel can find a way out of this. At least maybe he'll say that's what one mandamra means, that up and down is just another way of saying kli. But Lorenz said that's the machlokas, Rabbeinu Chananel says wind and kli, and is difficult for him to explain the Gemara in the 20th parak. Why didn't they just say straining sediment in the Meraki because it's a kli? Rashi says straw, pebbles, flour, and it's very easy for him to explain the Gemara in the 20th parak. They were very confused, and they were just trying to compare it to straw, pebbles, or flour. But we don't really have a good rule of thumb in that case for what to do with every other case in the world, which is okay. Rashi will say, okay, so no. We don't really have a good rule of thumb for knowing in every other case in the world what's Zohar, what's Borer, what's Merakid. All right, either way, it's Usher. Right nowadays, we don't have a Sanhedrin list of Gazas anyway, so there's no need for Asra. So whatever, if it's Usher, it's Usher. And if it's Mutter, it's Mutter. We don't need to know what Av Malach is. That's Rashi and the Raf. And again, the Ugly Talmud made this famous in Os Gimel of his parish on Zorah. He also, the Eglital also points out there that the Yerushalmi has a completely different orientation than the Bavli. The Bavli seems to assume, he puts together the two Yerushalmis very nicely. The Bavli assumes, as we know, it's black and white. Zohar, Borer, Merakid are the same idea. We just have to figure out, now they're the same idea, how do you figure out what fits, what's called Zohar, what's called Borer, what's called Merakid? The Yerushalmi does not seem to have this idea. The Yerushalmi says two strange things. First, the Yerushalmi says that if you spit and it blows in the wind, you're chayav for Zorah midoraisa. If you spit into the wind, that's achiyav doraisa of Zorah. Meaning, then, let's take it, which is very strange, because you'd think if you spit in the wind, what are you not doing? You're not separating out good spit from bad spit, right? You're just spitting into the wind, so where's the Zohar? The second thing Yerushalmi says is that if you sit by a pile of wheat and you take out pebbles all day long, you're not chayev until you take out all the pebbles. Which 99% of all poskim we'll see much later, in a week maybe, that maybe there's another one presented. 99% of all posts can assume that we don't agree with. But he says, if you would take a pile of wheat, the size of this room, and take out pebbles all Shabbos long, you'd be putter, because you haven't taken out all the pebbles. But if you take a handful of wheat off to the side and take out all the pebbles in 3 seconds, you're chayev because you took out all the pebbles. So the Yerushalmi has two strange shitas. So the Eglei Tal explains, this is the Yerushalmi, the shitase. The Yerushalmi assumes that Zorer, Borer, and Merakit are not all the same idea. Borer is about separating two things, good from bad. Merakit is about separating good from bad. But Zorer is not about separating good from bad. Coincidentally, farmers who grow wheat separate good from bad. But that's not the Avmalach of Zorah. According to the Yerushalmi, the Avmalach of Zorah is scattering things in the wind, regardless of whether you're separating anything or not. As long as you scatter something in the wind, even if it's all the same thing, you throw a lot of confetti and it scatters in the wind, it's all the exact same confetti, and it doesn't get separated into piles, that's an Issur D'oraisa of Zorah, because Zorah means using the scattering power of the wind. And that's why if you spit in the wind, you're high for Zorah. How is this the Yerushalmi? And we'll see at the very end of our simon whether we hold like this Yerushalmi or not. Well, we certainly don't hold like this Yerushalmi. The question is whether we're choshesh for this Yerushalmi l'chomer or not. Which we are. Advance warning. How is this l'shitase? Because what the Eglei Tal says is, look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi assumes in Borer that it's only a malach of Borer if you completely fix the ochel and remove all the psoles. That it's only a malach of borer if you fix the ochel by making it pure. I can take out a million pebbles, and it's not borer, d'oraisa, if there were a million and two, and I left in two pebbles. So it's only borer if you completely purify the ochel. So now, the Yerushalmi makes sense, l'shitase. The Yerushalmi cannot interpret zoreh as separating out good from bad. Why? Because even after the Zorah, there's still pebbles in the wheat. You haven't fixed the wheat and separated out all the psoles. Zorah doesn't separate all the psoles. It takes out the straw, but leaves in pebbles. So for the Yerushalmi l'shitase, Zorah cannot be a malacha of separating good from bad, because you haven't fixed the ochel. You haven't removed all the psoles yet. So for the Yerushalmi l'shitase, borer is defined as fixing the ochel by removing all the psoles. But then zorer can't be the same as borer. You can't say zorer is fixing the ochel by removing all the psoles. Because you haven't removed all the psoles, there's still rocks here. And therefore, the Yerushalmi had to take a completely different definition of zorer and say zorer means scattering in the wind and has nothing to do with separating out ochel from psoles. Why can't Zohar be partially purifying and Borer be totally purifying? I guess that wouldn't make sense. So why, if Zohar was high for partially purifying, so why wouldn't you be high for Borer also if you took out half the stones? You partially purified. Unless you're going to say Kachzer is a Kassel. Well, about these students, Hainu, Zohar, Hainu, Borer, Hainu, Rak. But I guess you're trying to say, once they're not the same, then why make them the same at all? Make Zohar about scattering the wind and Borer about separating the ochel and psoles. I'm saying you could have, but the Yerushalmi is still the shitase.
Scattering the wind means not necessarily separating.
Even if you spit in the wind, it's all spit. And it just scatters in the wind. That's an Issur D'oraisa. You throw confetti in the wind. It has to be more than one thing, or else it's not scattered, I think. So if I throw confetti in the wind, and it's all the same exact color, shape, size confetti, and the wind blows it all over, that is an Issur D'oraisa of Zorah. Now, I think it has to be scattered, meaning if I fly kite in the wind, I don't think that's what the Yerushalmi calls Zorah. Has to be scattered. And I think that's what the Yerushalmi is saying. But anyway, so the Eglei Tal points out very nicely, the Yerushalmi's l'shitase, let's just review for a second, the way the Yerushalmi conceptualizes borer is fixing the ochel by removing all the psoles. You're only chayev when you remove all the psoles. Therefore, l'shitase, zoreh cannot be the same idea as borer, because you haven't removed all the psoles. You left in the pebbles. So it must be that Zohar is about scattering things in the wind. Zohar is about scattering things in the wind. Borer is about removing all the psoles and fixing the ochel, which you do. You remove all the pebbles. Then when you do token, you create new psoles. And Merakit is about removing all that new psoles and fixing the ochel again. So Merakit is the same as Borer. But Zohar is a totally different idea. Now at the Eglei, yeah.
Are there any other some sense, like the mice, what you're doing is different as opposed to saying like, the thing you're using is different? Is it not,
I mean, I'm not familiar with other opinions. I mean, some there are, but I'm not familiar with that.
I thought you were implying that like, it's not just the key they're using, but the actual action you do in the is also.
I mean, you can show it to me, but I'm not, you know, that doesn't ring a bell to me. Yeah, and there's always more sheets out there. I'm sure if someone, you know, did a proper research through all the Rishonim and Achronim, they could discover something. But, now, what's the Rishonim's logic? If this pshat, and I think the Elifaz pshat and the Rishonim is a beautiful pshat, it's mocher, the Rishonim's logic is that really, it's only borer if you remove all the psolas. It's only merakid if you remove all the psolas. Right? And zoreh must be a totally different Indian because you're not removing all the psolas, so it can't be similar to borer. Why do you Rishonim think that, Takta? Why do you Rishonim think that if you don't remove all the psolas, that it's not a malacha? So the answer might be obvious. The answer might be that, well, look, the malacha is always malacha. Hashem is fixing something. You haven't fixed it. Right? It's like you cook something and it's not machal ben drusai yet. That's not a malacha. I mean, again, it's zero rabbanan. It's not a real malacha. It's not a real malacha unless you really fix the food. So it's not fixed until you remove the psolas. And the egg leg tal ties that into on the famous machlokas between the Balamor and the Ramban. The question is, what is the chefta of the malacha of borer? What is the chefta of the malacha of borer? So the Balamor has a very interesting line. What does the Balamor say? That borer is special because it's a malach shim gufa, and it's always a malach shim gufa, and you're chayiv anyway. Right? He says, look, we have a rule malach shim gufa, we paskin as potter. Right? Everyone about the Rambam, paskin malach shim gufa as potter. But that's for the other of malacha, for Zohar and borer. It's always a malach shim gufa. So if you said it's potter, there'd be no such a malacha. So it must be xeris akasav that borer is malach shim gufa, and it's chayiv anyway. Why is borer malach shein shikh legufa? Because what does borer mean? You're taking the psolas, and you don't need the psolas. You want the ochel. That's classic malach shein shikh legufa. You're doing the malach to something which you don't want at all. You just want a side effect on something else. Classic malach shein shikh legufa. Right? You need room in your house, so you take out a piece of furniture in the street to make more room in your house. It's malach shein shikh legufa. You move the furniture, you don't need the furniture. You need the space. Here also, you took out the psolas, but you don't need the psolas. You need the ochel. So it's a malach shein shikh legufa in your chayiv anyway. The Ramban, right there in Daf Kufav, in the Fidushin, not the Machanos, excuse me, argues on him, and the Ramban says this, anyone learn how this needed last year? So this is the famous Shachin Taz about the cutting the nails. The Ramban says that no, he thinks that borer is malacha hatzricha legufa. Why? Why is malacha hatzricha legufa? You don't need the psolas. So what does the Ramban say? You don't need the psolas, but you need the ochel, and you've improved the ochel. As the Balamor says, the malacha is removing psolas, so it's ain't hatzricha legufa, but taka your chayim anyway. The Ramban says, no, the malacha is improving the ochel, and you've improved the ochel. The Ramban seems to say, again, you have to look in the Egel Tal, there's a lot of different formulations in the front and on the side also, but the Ramban probably means to say, like, the Cheftz of Borer is both the Psolas and the Ochel. But, for our purposes, the Cheftz of Borer is the Ochel, and you're improving the Ochel. This is actually in Vernu Gela Maisa, maybe we got to already, the Yeshuas Yaakov, according to the Bir Halacha, who's going to take this whole idea of the Ramban and draw some Halacha Lamaisa conclusions from it, which we'll get to, we're not going to say over right now. But the fundamental machlokes in the Balamor and the Ramban, the Balamor said the malach of taking up psolas, and it's in a tzrich legufa and your chayiv anyway, xeris akasav. The Ramban says the malach is improving ochel, and here you've taken something out, you've done a maisa to the ochel of removing the psolas from it and improved the ochel. That's tzrich legufa. You've improved the ochel. So the chefza, the ochel for the Ramban, while the chefza is the psolas, according to the Balamor. So who is more similar to the Yerushalmi here? The Ramban or the Balamor? the Ramban, right? Because what is the Yerushalmi's logic? The Yerushalmi's logic was the Chetz is the Ochel. It's only Malach if you purify the Ochel. So if you haven't purified the Ochel, if you only took out 99 rocks, but there's still one rock left, then, or easier example, you only took out 50 rocks, there's still 50 left, then that's not a Malacha. And that's why the Yerushalmi thinks that you're not, it's not a Malacha if you don't take out all the Psalmists. The question is, what does the Bavli think? So the Yerushalmi basically says that the Chefza is the Ochel, right? Improving or purifying, you're purifying and improving Ochel. And therefore, if you take out 50 out of 100 pebbles, you're putter, because the ochel isn't fixed. So why do we disagree with Yerushalmi? So who has the easiest time disagreeing with Yerushalmi? The Balamar, right? This is the Yerushalmi. Now, if we assume we disagree with Yerushalmi, which for now we will, the Baal HaMor would say very pashut. The Chefta is the Psolis. It's not about improving anything. It's Lashon Shekel Gufa. You're just removing Psolis. And therefore, you're kind of in that case, Yerushalmi, we disagree, because you did remove Psolis. No question there. So for the Baal HaMor, it's obvious why we don't agree with Yerushalmi. How about for the Ramban? For the Ramban, he agrees that the Chefta is the Ochel, and the Malacha is for purifying and improving the Ochel. If so, if the Chefta is the Ochel, then why don't we agree with the Ramban? How come we could say you're chayim if you take out 50 out of 100 pebbles? According to the Ramban, why don't we agree to the Yerushalmi? Yeah, but Alf Solis and Lach Shinsi of Lugufa, so you should be Potter, because he holds his Zotzi or Sakasa. So, what do you think the Ramban would say?
Just because he didn't take out all the, doesn't mean it's not attacking the
little. Exactly! He'd say you're Chayav. Because you weren't attacking the Ochel. You just weren't fully attacking the Ochel, but you weren't attacking the Ochel, after all. It's like, if I cook something, Kamachal ben Drusai. Right? If I cook something, let's pick a third, or halfway. Does anyone think like it's done yet? No, but it's had an improvement. So I think the Ramban would just say a partial improvement is an improvement. And that's why the Bavli would disagree with this radical Yerushalmi.
How do I know the Bavli disagrees?
How do we know the Bavli disagrees? So that's where I don't know if I can quote you any Mukher and Shtas before is why the Bavli disagrees. I said 99% of all posts can assume the Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi. We'll have to go back and see if there's 100% or 99%, but at the very least, let's write the Egli Tal assumes that all the Achronim write that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. You're right, the easy thing for the Ramban to just say that we agree with Yerushalmi, and then Shalom Yisrael. But the posts can assume that we disagree.
Does Ramban view the Yerushalmi as Kasha, or?
The Ramban doesn't bring it. Neither Ramban nor Balmor mentions the Yerushalmi at all. They weren't dealing with the Yerushalmi. But you have to put them together. The Egli Tal made the connection between the Yerushalmi and the Balmor and Ramban, not me. So that's basically some of the lundus. By way of introduction, we understand the difference between Zohar, Bor, and Meraki, three Drachim, Rabbi Nochanan, Rashi, and the Yerushalmi, which makes Zohar a totally different ballgame. And also connected to that Yerushalmi. The question of what's the Chefza of, what's the nature of the Malacha for the Baal HaMor, it's a Malacha on the Psolis, which is Ena Trich Lugufa B'Chayim anyway. For the Ramban, it's a Malacha on the Ochel, which is fixing the Ochel. But we can still say you're Chayim for taking out half the rocks, because you fixed the Ochel. You just have more fixings to do, like Josh suggested. There could be a big nafkamina to this whole Machlokas, Ramban and Baal HaMor, but I don't want to get into it now, I want to come back to it. But as you can imagine, like, what if I take out some Ochel with the Psolis? What if I leave some solace with the Ochel, or vice versa? You could say that if you take a Baal HaMor approach, it's about taking up solace, unless the solace is separate, I haven't done Malacha. If you take a Ramban approach, then it's about fixing that it's about fixing the ochel, so as long as I fix ochel. But we'll come back to that. I don't want to get into that now, because that's going to be too complicated. Now, I think we're finished the introduction, if no one has any more questions. We can get down to the halachos of Borer. Now, there are three main issues, I think, in Borer, one of which is dealt with in the Gemara, which is the Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet. The Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet and Aleph, we all had a chance to look at that Gemara, has this funny brisa, which says something very unique about Borer. Says, if you're bor v'ochel, bor v'inyach, that's okay. But if you did it the wrong way, then you're chayev. Perhaps there's also an issue about bottom throwing. So, now we know that's about yad, right? The what is it? The big yad, mi yad, something like that. What? Oh, it doesn't all rhyme? Oh, okay, forgot it then. Alright, I thought there was... the Ayil Meshulash, right? Och mitov soles, yad la'alter. The Ayil Meshulash. So, before we get to exactly the maskana of the Gemara, let's get to the maskana of the Gemara. So the Gemara wants to know, what is pshat in this brisa, which differentiates between mutter kind of borer and usser kind of borer? And the Gemara has five suggestions for what's the mutter kind of borer and what's the usser kind of borer. As we know, the first suggestion is, I'm not going to go through the names, but that here's the mutter kind, and here's the chayev kind, that bo vayom is mutter, and the machar is chayev. But the Gemara rejects that. Says, can't be that mutter cook bo vayom, mutter cook for Shabbos morning for any time on Shabbos, that's ridiculous. So then the Gemara wants to say that pachos mikashir is mutter, but kashir is chayev. Right? If you less than a grogris, that's okay. If you do a grogris, then that's chayev. Right? So that's ridiculous. You think you can cook less than a shir, like your mutter do malacha just to eat less than a shir? Ridiculous. So then the Gemara suggests that, biyad, okay, someone remind me the order? Okay, biyad. That biyad is mutter, and napa and kvara are ratzchayim, and there's a middle ground also, which is knon and tampoy. If you do biyad, that's mutter. If you do it with a knon or a tampoy, which are irregular braver utensils, a knon is a funnel, right? A funnel is not normally used for borer, but you could do borer with a funnel. We're not talking about like borer liquid out of big solids that get stuck in the funnel. No, we mean just like pebbles from wheat or something. You could do it in a funnel because if you shake it the right way, then it will automatically make the light things go up and the heavy things go down. It's just a funny property of Kalim. And you can do the same thing with a tampoy, even with a tray. If you shake a tray in the right way, it'll make the heavy things go to one side and the light things go to the other side. That's something to do with something in physics, I'm not sure. But it really works, you could try it. So those aren't natural ways to be borer. It means a tampoy is a tray and a funnel is for pouring liquids into bottles. Right? So that's, Rashi says, kalach riyad, that's not the normal way, so that's an isur d'rabbanan. It's the kli, but it's not normal. Nap and kfara are real borer utensils. Kfara is a sieve and a sifter, and a napa is also like a kind of basket with holes in it that sifts things. Those are real sifting utensils, and that's an isur d'oraisa. And the Gemara rejects this as well. But the Gemara doesn't say that's ridiculous. How could that be? There's mutter bor v'yad and chayav knon and tampoy. Or chayav napa and kfara. The Gemara says, that's not pshat in the brisa because the brisa doesn't mention these factors. So you can't say that's pshat in the brisa because it's not a good read of the brisa. So the Gemara does reject it because they say the facts are wrong. So it's a bad interpretation of the brisa. So then the Gemara, if you want to know what's the Rashi, tells argue, okay, you get into what's bad. Is it because it's bad interpretation of the brisa, say there are three levels, or because it's bad, say they're talking about Caleb? But then the next pshat, Abayi, whoever it was, says that the mutter type is if you take ochel mitoch psoles. And the usher way is if you take psoles mitoch ochel. And then it rejects that as well. What kind of X should I draw? Right? The Gemara doesn't say that's ridiculous. How can you have ochel mitoch psoles? Whereas this, that's not shown the bracer. You can't stick this into the bracer because the bracer just said you can be borer and eat, but you can't be borer. So you have no right to stick something into the bracer. It's not there. In the end, we finally get the pshat. You can borer the altar, right? Or miyad. And levo bayom, you're chayev. If I'm borer for right away, then that's mutter. And if I'm borer for later in the day, then I am chayev, and that's taka good pshat. It's true and a good pshat in the bracer. Because the rice says bor ve'ochel, so that sounds like miyad. When it says yivor, that sounds like bo bayom. Fine. That is the beginning of the Gemara. Now the question is, now that in the end we know that the rice was distinguishing between la'alter and bo bayom, what about the past four pshatim? So obviously the first two are wrong. What about the numbers 3 and 4? The Gemara never said they were wrong, just they weren't pshat in the rice. But maybe they're still true la'halacha. And the Gemara also... It's not mochach, but the Gemara also seems to bring up these factors later, or at least brings up not the Gvara and Knon and Tankoy in the next Gemara, and the Gemara after that brings up at least the Suffig that Ochim Tov Solas. So the Gemara seems to recognize these factors later, which is why all the Rishonim, whose Shitas you can definitively understand, say that we agree with all three of these factors, the Maskana. Lemaskana, all three of these are true. La'alacha, the yad is mutter, not before is chayiv. Ochel tov solos, mutter solos, but ochel is chayiv. And la'alter is mutter, lebo bayom is chayiv. The question is just, how do you combine these factors, right? Do you need all of them? Do you need some of them? Right? How do they combine? Are they d'oraisa, or are they d'rabanan? So this is very unclear. Many Rishonim are very unclear. It's very hard to tell what the Rishitas of a lot of Rishonim are. But there are two basic approaches that the Beis Yosef quotes and that the Rishonim understand. Rashi and everyone else. Now if you look at the Eglei Tal, he works with the other Rishonim and tries to come up with a few other Pshatim, but it's very hard to really know what the Rishonim are trying to get at here. Rashi says, funny to us, Rashi has a comment here, where he says that E, Bebor, Minich La'alter, Motu L'chachilahu, that if you are borer la'alter, then it's mutter even with a kli. Even with a nachu kvara, even with a professional sifting kli. So Rashi, now we're not exactly sure what a shita is, but one thing's clear. Rashi doesn't say you need the ayil masholish to make it mutter. He doesn't say you need three factors to be mutter borer. Because Rashi says if it's biyad, then it doesn't even matter. If it's la'alter, it doesn't matter if you use your hand or a kli. It's mutter either way. Now, he doesn't say absolus and ochel fits into this. But there's a lot he doesn't say. But one thing he says for sure, you don't need all three factors to make it mutter. Because if you're doing it la'alter to eat right away, then you're allowed to use a sifter. So that's that's Rashi Shita. You don't need all three factors. If you have la'alter, you don't have to worry about biyad. However, the Rach, I think is the first one here, Menuchananel says, Mifu Rash, in the end of the Gemara, you combine all three of these valid shitas in the most makor way possible. It's only mutter if it is the Yad, Ochel Mitok Psoles, and La Alter. If you have all three, it's mutter. If you only have two, or one, or zero, then it's usher. That's what Rabbeinu Chananel says, and the Beis Yosef points out that everyone agrees with Rabbeinu Chananel. This Tosos endorses him, the Rambam says like him, the Rush, the Ran, the Beis Yosef goes like in Mishnah, Beni Rucham, all the Rishonim say against Rashi, say like Tosos, the truth is going to Tosos, so only it's a suffix in the word in the end, but at least be suffix, we need all three factors. So unlike Rashi, who says, you don't need all three factors, just do a la'alter and you don't need biyad, the Rabbeinu Chananel says you need all three factors or else it's usher. Now, or else what? This is a little unclear. Some of the Rishonim say, depends which factor you're missing, whether it's an Issur or Bana Daraisa, but at the very least, the Rambam and the Ran and others, the Rambam says pretty straight out that if you don't have all three factors, not only is it Usser, it's Chayiv. The Rush doesn't sound like that. The Rush sounds like, as long as it's Biyad La'alter, then even if you do Tosos Tov Ochel, it would only be an Issur or Bana. But Lamaisa, we Paskin, the Rambam says straight out, and the Ran and other Rishonim agree with him. The most machmir way possible of understanding the Sugya, you need all three factors to make it mutter, And if you only have two factors, if you do with your hands the altar, but you take them soulless, or if you take the ochel altar, but with a kli, or if you take the ochel with your hands, but do it for later, then your chayav katas is an iser de oraisa. And that is what the Mechaber seems to be bringing down, because he brings down Lashon of the Rambam, and that seems to be the accepted halach. Rabbeinu Chananel, when he's defining Borer, says, yeah, that's great. Borer is if they solace the Docha Ochel under all circumstances. And if you take Ochel, you talk up solace, either with a Kli or for later on. Doesn't no? The Torah says if you do it with a kli, your chayav kata. Sounds like when you take the ochel or the psalms.
If they have two
so the Torah, well, he does, but in a different way because he thinks the psalms and ochel could sometimes one way is mutter and the other one is usher, and sometimes the other way is mutter and the one is usher. Right. So what Zav is pointing out is that everyone agrees you need three factors except for Rashi. But some people say it has to be Ochum Tov Soles, and some people say you need this factor. But in some circumstances it has to be Ochum Tov Soles, and in some circumstances it has to be Soles Mitov Ochel. Yeah, and we'll come back to that. Okay, let's come back to that. But if we look at the Shulchan Aruch then, so we'll have to come back to the other parts of the Gemara and see how to read them. But if you look at it, but almost all of them are shown, I mean, it's striking that no one really agrees with Rashi here. They all say you need all three factors to make it mutter. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to start out saying. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you look at Siv Aleph, HaBorer, Ochel Mitoch Psoles, Osha Yilfan Shnei Mini Ochlin. Okay, we'll have to discuss that. Ubar min mi min acher, so you take ochel from soles, or you take one min from a different min. Benapuk var chayet, beknon of a tamchut potter of a lasser. Bimbir biyaduk, and you left only alter mutter. So he says, in what case is it mutter? If you read it carefully, only if you bore ochel mitoch soles, and you use your hands, and you do kilechol alter, then it's mutter. You need all three factors to make it mutter. And if you're missing one of those factors, then it's usser. And if you're dagging losh in the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch a little later, not only usher, but chayev, right? Because if you're missing the factor of biyadu, he says here, benapa kvar chayev. If you're missing the factor of la'alter, he says in beis, habor lebo bayom is chayev. And if you're missing the factor of ochel mitoch psoles, he says in daled, habor psol mitoch ochel is chayev. So if you're missing any one of these three, you're mamash chayev chatas, chol shabbos doraisa, with all three together, it is mutter. That's the accepted psak halacha like Rov Rishonim. Now, the question is, what do we mean by la'alter? So, we know the Beis Yosef tells us there's machlokas rishonim, three way, or maybe called four way machlokas rishonim, what la'alter means. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, la'alter is for this suda that you're sitting down to. Meaning, for this Suda, no matter how long the Suda is, sometimes the Suda can stretch out 4 hours. So if I'm bored at the beginning of the Suda starts at 12, I'm bored at 12, and I don't eat it till 4. But as long as it's part of the same Suda, that's considered la'alter. La'alter is defined by the Suda. Whether long, a 5-minute Suda is a 5-minute la'alter, a 4-hour Suda, from the beginning to the end, even though it's 4 hours, is all la'alter.
Even before the Suda.
That's, he doesn't make that so explicit, but we'll get to that in a second. That's Rabbeinu Chananel. Who is more machmer than Rabbeinu Chananel? The Mordechai. The Mordechai says, what does the altar mean? Mamish la'altar, I'm eating it now. Doesn't help me in the same suda. I have to eat it right now. Or else, that's usher. That's the Mordechai. The who's more makel than the Rabbeinu Chananel? The Rabbeinu Yerucham, right? The Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham. Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham that la'altar means... I mean, Rabbeinu Yerucham is not 100% clear as Lashon, but at least we understand what Rabbeinu Yerucham means. La'alter means after the previous Suda. As long as I finish dinner, it's la'altar of lunch now. La'altar means the next suda. So once dinner is over, now anything for lunch, la'altar. Once lunch is over, anything for shalosh shudas is la'altar. And I guess when Shabbos starts, anything for dinner is la'altar. La'altar just means asking your next suda, not two sudas away. But all that time in between, even if I finish dinner, I finish dinner at 8 o'clock p.m. and I'm not eating lunch for another, you know, for another 16 hours. But that 16 hours is all called la'altar because it's the next suda coming up. That's the day of Rabbi Yerucham. How do we paskin? So the Ramah says, Hagah, v'chol ma'ashabor l'tzor osa suda shemesiva miyad mikuli altar. Whatever you're borer for the need of the suda that you're sitting down to right away is called la'altar, like the middle shita of Rabbeinu Hananel. Then you have to be sitting down to the suda right away. Meaning you can't say, since I finished my lap, any time after dinner is la'altar of lunch. No, only as you're sitting down to lunch. But the whole lunch, no matter how long lunch is called la'altar. The Bir Alocha quotes that there is a minority view in the Achrona, he quotes from the Tosefis Yerushalayim based on the Yerushalmi, that wants a pasuk like the Mordechai. The Bir Alocha says, no, we hold like the Ramah, the Achrona hold like the Ramah. Le Maisa, we say like the Beinu Hananel, that Suda is called the altar. Now the question is just, so I understand during that Suda is the altar. How about before the Suda? What does it mean that I'm Mesa Bamiyad, I'm about to start sitting down to it? So some of the Achronim, the Mishaburu quotes, have gotten dollar, the lashon of Somach Lesuda. How close to the Suda do I have to be called the altar? So this is a little unclear. There's an Igros Moshe. The question, is the Igros Moshe on here? Yeah, the question Rabbi Eider asked, the Igros Moshe, right, this is in Chelik Dalet, or Chaim Chelik Dalet, some Ayin Dalet, which are the questions Rabbi Eider asked for Moshe when he was writing his Halachas of Shabbos books. His Halachas of Shabbos book. They're in the back. Originally published in the back of the Hilchos Shabbos of Rabbi Shimon Iger, and then they were included in the Igros Moshe. So there's short questions and short answers. So he says, look, some of the Rishonim said, like, after Achar Shah counts as Bova Yom, it's no longer the altar. That's like Borla Otzer, that's Chayiv Doraisa. So what does that mean? Does that mean like an hour, a 60-minute hour? So in truth, the Shvisa Shabbos writes this. Shvisa Shabbos says, an hour, 60 minutes before your suda is considered the altar. Our Moshe says, I think, more pashat. He says, we all know that Shah and Rishon and Achronim and Shas usually doesn't mean an hour, either in 60 minutes or in Shas Samadios. It usually means a period of time. Now, Shah just means a while. So what's the time? So Moshe says, very logically, the time of the altar is the time it takes to prepare the suda. If it takes 5 minutes to prepare one suda, then 5 minutes is the altar. If it takes an hour to prepare a suda, then an hour is the altar. The altar means you're preparing that suda. That's the altar.
Suda or a general suda?
This particular suda. So Rav Moshe says, and this is what the modern day poskim seem to accept, that the definition of the altar is anything within this meal, and in preparing for that meal, but only within the time it takes to prepare that meal. And which means, time it takes to prepare that meal without being mafsik and doing something else in the middle, right? If a wife says, I always start preparing my lunch at 9 o'clock, and then I go to shul for the end of shul, and then I come home and eat, so that's not la'altar. That's not what her motion means, that time it takes to prepare a meal, like if I prepare a meal and then go to shul. Means if you prepare a meal and then eat the meal, mesiv b'miyad, as the Ramah says. What does it mean, the meal you're sitting down to right away? So logically, it can't mean you're sitting down right now. Because what if there's a lot of things that have to be nivra for that meal? So, when are you going to be boring them all? Obviously, it must mean in the time it takes to prepare the meal and then sit down right away without going anywhere else in the middle. And that's how we paskin. Poskim accept this from Moshe, that la'altar means any time during the meal or before the meal in the time it takes to prepare the meal without distraction and sit down right away. However long that is, all depends on how complicated that particular meal is. But certainly, you have to be careful that you can't just say, if now is when I prepare the meal, that's called the altar. Because again, if the wife, I'm sure there are many people, women who do this. They prepare some of the meal in the morning, and then they go to shul for a little while, and then they come back. So that's not called the altar. So they're not preparing the meal and sitting down right away. Only the time it takes, or whatever. Maybe the wife just wants to prepare the meal's hard work and sit and relax with a book for a chumash for a little while before lunch. Okay, that's wonderful. But the borer can't be called the altar, so she prepare all the meal, relax with the chumash, and then do the borer. And then sit down to eat. Just save the borer for a little later, so it'll be called la'altar. Okay, I think that's fairly clear. Yes?
Without this
without La'alter, without Lanatonic Pseudo, it's Anisha Daraisa?
Without La'alter, it's Anisha Daraisa. That's what we said. If you only have two of the three factors, that's an Isra Daraisa. There's no middle ground. And the only middle ground we'll see is Kanon and Tamil. What?
Why do we trust somebody's estimation of time?
So it's not an estimation, it's a fact. Meaning we're not asking someone to estimate how long it takes for the average person or for a person in China to prepare the meal. We're saying, you start preparing the meal, and if you know you're preparing the meal, and it's going to take you till the meal to prepare, then that's La'alter. If you know you're going to prepare the meal and have time left over, that's not La'alter. Everyone knows that. And that's, I don't think you have to estimate. I think it's just a fact.
I'm saying if you estimate, you can end up with half an hour after you prepare. So you have to estimate before. I'm saying, I don't know if we would say you're violating Esther the Rice in that case, but... So we don't want
to I mean, I guess we'd assume people generally know, you know, how long it takes for them to prepare what they need to prepare for the meal. I guess if it's a big enough meal, then someone might be off by half an hour. So, L'chora, I haven't seen this in the post, but I guess what you say is that as long as this is what they thought, when the time it takes to prepare this meal, even if they worked a little faster, that would still be able to alter. It's hard to say they're afraid of violating Mr. Doraisa. But I think generally people know when it's altered and it's not, according to this definition.
But if there was a break in between accidentally, that would mean L'Afreyer Chayiv Chatas?
If there was a break accidentally, would that mean L'Afreyer Chayiv Chatas? I think not. I think as long as you were doing it in a way of
at that time.
Of alter, that's my intuition, but I can't prove it. Right? Again, you could always be on the safe side. If you save the Brera for the end of your preparations, then if you prepare for an hour and you do the Brera at the end, even if you then have a half-hour break, you're still okay, because it was within an hour of the meal. So maybe that's a little better. Anyway, okay. So, but that's what Moshe says, so I guess everyone has to figure out how to implement this properly. And if you're not sure, then be on the safe side. Then don't do the borer in advance. That's the first part of the Ramah, what La'alter means. Again, I think it's definitely, when you look at the Lashon HaRamah, Shemesev Bamiyad, it sounds like you shouldn't be too makel on this. Ramah say Mesev Bamiyad, you're sitting down right away. So you have to be careful about this gap. Va'afilu, then there are some, Afilu Achirim Ochlin Imo Shari. Even if other people are eating with you, that's okay. Meaning it's even called, it's even mutter, if it's La'alter of someone else eating, and you're not eating it. Even for other people, that's okay. Now this is very controversial. I mean, it's probably not controversial to us because we're used to the halacha l'maisa. But this is very controversial. Can I be borer for other people? Maybe I can only be borer for myself. If I'm borer for myself, that's the derech of just eating. That's not like working. But if I'm borer for a lot of other people, that's like borer l'otzer. That's like professional brera. So is this svara really true? So in the Yerushalmi here al atar, you know, in Klal Gadol, it's a machlokas amaron, Chizkiya and Rav Ami or something. I forget exactly who. In the Bavli, it's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Right? Tosfos, the Brisa says, Borer ve'ochel, borer umeniach. Borer ve'ochel, borer umeniach. So Tosfos says, Taka, what does it mean, borer ve'ochel, borer umeniach? It says, La'alter, what do you mean, borer umeniach? It has to be La'alter. It says, no, borer la'ochel means for you to eat La'alter. Bor meniach means for other people to eat la'alter. So that's a flourish in the brisa. That bor v'ochel for you, bor meniach for other people. That's Tosfos. Rashi, however, interprets bor meniach as a... What? Where's the Rashi? One second.
At the bottom, just bor meniach la'alter, la'echol la'alter.
Yeah.
Oh. Don't forget why three lines up.
Bor meniach la'alter. Thank you. Lech bor meniach la'alter, la'echol la'alter. You can be bor meniach la'echol la'alter. What does that mean? Bor va'ochol bor meniach. Bor meniach means you can put it down to eat right away. What does Rashi seem to be saying? So Rashi seems to be saying, what does borer ve'ochel means? You're borer and you put it in your mouth. Borer meniach means you're borer and you put it down to eat la'alter. But he doesn't say it means la'achirim. He says borer ve'ochel is you take out the ochel and you eat it. Borer meniach means you take out the ochel and you put it on a plate to eat la'alter. So that's the difference. The difference is not different people, just what we'll see the Achron call miyad lepeh, putting it straight in your mouth or putting it on the plate first. Rashi seems to imply, and the Rishonim understand his shita, that Rashi thinks you're not allowed to do borer for other people. That's an Issa Daraisa. You're only allowed to be borer v'ochel borer miniach for yourself. Just borer v'ochel straight into your mouth or borer miniach on a plate. Why would Rashi say this pshat? Why do I... What? Why am I forced to say this? Okay, so I'll tell you why... This is a very weak argument from silence, you're claiming. Rashi just didn't say like Tosfos. How do we know he disagrees? So I think but maybe he just didn't think of it. But I think there's a reason why Rashi would say this. Because it's a very strange story at the end of the Gemara. What's a very strange story? They have this case of Shabta Rav Bibi Havoy. Right? Loi Rav Ami Rav Asi. Right? It was Rav Bibi's turn. It was his Toranot, right? Toranot and a Torah Minayim. Is Shabbos Tavayin Dalam and Aleph. It was Rav Bibi's Torah Not, right? This is that we know, even if you're a Stark guy in Yeshiva, you still have to do Torah Not. After all, you're not more Stark than Rav Bibi. Rav Asi, what did he do? He threw the whole basket of fruit in front of them. Instead of putting the fruit on their plate, he threw the whole basket onto the table. And they were Masufik. Is this because Ein Yafeh? He just wanted to be generous, and if you put on their plate, they might think, I can only eat this much, but I can't eat more. So he threw it all on the table so they would eat as much as they want out of generosity. They wouldn't feel restricted. Or is it because he held that ochel mitoch psolus is usur, and he was nizhar not to take the ochel out of the psolus and give it to them, because he was nizhar on that. So now, I have a very simple question. What's the possible chashash of the Gemara? The Gemara is saying, maybe Rabbi was being generous, or maybe he was nizhar on ochel mitoch psolus that he couldn't take the ochel and give it to them. Why would he possibly have a hafmi to be nizhar and not take the ochel out of the psolus and give it to them? What could possibly be the problem? Why would there be a suffering there where Bibi thought it's usher? What happened? There was fruit there, right? There was fruit with psolus. Maybe it was with the leaves. Maybe it was with bad fruit. I don't know what it was with. Right? But there was fruit there, and the fruit had psolus in it, right? Rashi says leaves. There was fruit and leaves. So he didn't want to take the fruit out of the leaves, right? A big basket with apples and leaves. He didn't want to give him the apples and leave the leaves, and without the leaves. What was the possible problem in taking the ochel out of the psolus?
Maybe he thinks it's
for it. What?
I don't know, but isn't there a second case that has the same element, where it's not for a thing? Isn't there a second case?
There's a case of the Shalkila, Shiva Zimdin, etc.
Doesn't there have the same element of Psolus
as us? No, there they say it's Psolus Mitochocha. Oh, no, they did have the same element. Okay, correct, they did. But over there, you could say that's Lebo Bayom.
I'm saying, meaning the exists without the
okay, but over there you can say Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, you know what Rav Bibi's case was? It was not La'alter. Rav Bibi was Bo Bayom. Meaning, it was not La'alter, it was Bo Bayom. He couldn't, for some reason, take the apples out of the leaves right when he put it, gave it to them. The only option for him to take the apples out of the leaves was to do it in the kitchen well beforehand. So therefore, and that's what you can say by the Tormasinyats. That's for Bo Bayom, not for La'alter. Especially if you hold you're only in the middle of the seven times. So Tosfos says a very dachik pshat that Rav Bibi could only take the apples out of the leaves in advance, not La'alter. But why couldn't he take it out La'alter? And just then see us. Tosfos says, the only thing the girl wonders, why didn't he take the apples out in the kitchen? It was obvious he wasn't going to take the apples out as he put it on the tray, as he put it on their plates. Why not? I mean, Tosfos says something very dochuk, that Rav Bibi's the only happening is that he should take it out an hour beforehand. Then the Gemara says, Akasha, is it because he was nizer not to be borer in advance, like we hold, or because of Ein Yafeh? But for Rashi said that's dochuk. Obviously, Rav Bibi had the option of walking up to Rav Ami's plate, taking an apple out of the leaves and putting it on his plate, and walking to Rav Asi and taking an apple out and putting it on his plate. So what's the possible shash? So I think this is where Rashi might get a shita from. What's the possible shash? Who says there's a heter for Acherim? Maybe that's what this Gemara of Rav Bibi is about. For Acherim, there is no heter for Alter. Naturally, the Gemara is wondering. So maybe it's because he taka held, like the halacha, that Ochel mitoch psolus is also la'acherim. So I think, and you have to explain, what's even the havamina to ask for Ochel mitoch psolus for Rav Bibi, and either be nidchak and say, he couldn't have done it at the time. His only option is to do it an hour ago, and that's taka chashash, which is dochuk, or say like Rashi. He's obviously using his hands, right? Or said Rashi, la'achir, there's no heter of la'alter. Then we understand that we're suffering, maybe held off until souls. Because also, there is no heter of achir. So I think that might be a marker of Rashi, and that's why I think Rashi would really say it. Because Rashi says, well, rotza liver ha'ochem mitocha olim v'losez l'kalech v'echad. He wasn't willing to take the fruit out of the leaves and put it in front of each one, making it sound like, even at the time he gave each one their fruit, he wasn't willing to take the ochel out of the solus. Why wouldn't he be willing to take the ochel out of the solus as he gave everyone his fruit? Don't tell me tormesin. Tormesin is if you do it in 4 hours before you eat it. So why couldn't he take the apple out of the solus and give everyone his fruit? L'chora, what Rashi thought, the answer is because there's no heter of borer for achirim. And that's where Rashi might get a shita. It might be a real shita. There's no heter of borer for achirim. So I think this really is pshat of Rashi, and he really is a mucker. He's wondering why is the Gemara Masupik that Rav Bibi wouldn't take the apples out for the other chachamim? So the answer is either say something very dochuk, like, well, he couldn't do it then. The question is, should he have done it 4 hours ago? And then the answer is no, he had a chash not to do it. There's an Isra of Ochum Tov Solas Lebo Bayom. But Rashi says no. He could have done it as he gave it on their plate, so why didn't he? The answer is because it's just Ochum Tov Solas, it's for Achirim, because there's no Heter for Achirim. What? The Svar is very Pashut. That, it's Derech Achila, it's not Derech Breira, if you take it and eat it yourself. Then you're just eating, you're not doing a professional sorting. But if you take it and give it to everyone else, that's like a farmer who has customers. That's professional Borer. No? Seems like borer to me. You're a farmer. You have customers. You're being borer for them. So Rashi is a good svara. Lemaisa, though, Rashi is a good svara, and I think he's a good mucker in the Gemara, but that doesn't change the halacha. The Ramah says, even if other people are eating, it's still mutter to do braver for achirim right away. That's still considered the altar. It's mutter right away, even for achirim. And that's why, Maisa b'chol yom, of course, right? The host does borer for the whole suda, for all the people sitting at the suda. The host does borer for all the people sitting at the suda, and we don't consider that a problem. The Bi'ur Halacha quotes it, even takes it a step further, says not only for achirim people, you can do borer, even for behemos, as long as the behemos are eating la'alter, that's okay. Anything la'alter, whether for you, whether for your friend, whether for your behema, that's all okay. As long as being eaten la'alter, that's within the heter, and that's how we possibly. The Rabbein Yeruchim. All the Achronim say that we don't paskin that way. I don't remember the Rabbein Yeruchim, but all the Achronim say we don't paskin that way. That even if you don't end up eating it, that's still considered a derech achila, not a derech breira. And it's still considered la'alter. Zev.
From Rashi, can we just say that Rashi didn't hold of the heter and borer? He just didn't want it?
The problem is, I mean, he didn't hold from any heter at all. There's a brisa that says, bor v'ochel bor meniach. Or Bibi didn't know the brisa? Didn't hold it?
I'm not sure how to interpret the brisa. So you don't know exactly what the heter is.
No, but what he was doing had all the milas. He was using his hand to take the ochel out for eating right away. What could be the possible chash? What could be the possible chash? Because Rav Bibi is glad kosher, he has all the mindless. It's mahadim and a mahadim. It's taking an apple out for someone to eat right away with his hand. What could be the chash? In any case, it's mutter, it's his. Which is why Tosas be nidchak to say, Perish lo yadana mashlo birim tchila kodem shevim lefneihem. That we're trying to declare here why he didn't do the birer a long time ago. We're not discussing whether or why he didn't do the viewer now, which is dachuk from Tzias. Therefore, I think I have to say something. I don't think you can say Rav Bibi was just ignorant of the brisa, and the Gemara never brought the brisa in here. The Gemara just left it as like a suffix without pointing out it's before his brisa and halacha psuka that every other amora knew. Very strange. Pashas that Rav Bibi had a real chash. What was the chash? So probably the simplest thing is to say like Rashi that there's no heter for achirim. Yeah. Excuse me. But in the end, we pass, and there is a heter for achirim. So halacha lemaisa, it's not a baya. The end of the Ramah here just says v'lachin moter livor hayerek shakorin salatin, which is lettuce. Min ha'alan ha'mupashas vo, therefore you're allowed to be borer. Right, according to some people, this is actually the definition of knivas yerek, the famous knivas yerek. That's, mutter and Yom Kippur, but usher and Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos. That you're allowed to be borer the good leaves of lettuce from the spoiled leaves of lettuce. Kol ma shesarach lechov also suda, as much as you need to eat in this suda. Like the principle we've seen. The Mefarshim, the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Brura take the opportunity here to point out some basic principles of Breira, which is that, well, how bad are these leaves exactly? They point out there's two madrigas of bad leaves. Again, the mucker of this is not in the sugya here. It comes up a little in the sugyas we'll see a little later. How bad are these bad leaves? Say there's two madrigas of bad leaves. What are the two madrigas? If they're
edible.
Right, if they're not edible at all, then that's ochel and psoles gomer. And if you would do it the wrong way, what kind of issa would that be? An issa daraisa. If you have lettuce with inedible leaves, that's ochel and psoles mamish, like the Torah is talking about, like the pebbles and the wheat in the Sidur de Pas. And if you would do psoles mitoch ochel, or do it with a bayom, or do it with a kli, I mean, can't really do that with a kli, then you'd be chayiv da'oraisa. But if the leaves are edible, but only but nechal adiyat chak, the leaves are spoiled, but they're nechal adiyat chak, right? You can eat them under pressure. You just wouldn't want to eat them stam. You wouldn't want to eat them stam, but you can eat them al yedei et chak, right? As normally, you went to the store, you'd say, it's not good lettuce, I'm not going to eat it. But I'm okay, if you have to eat it, let's say you don't want to embarrass the host, whatever, so you eat it. So nechal yedei et chak, that's ochel and only psoles d'rabbanan. Midra raisa, that's not ochel and psoles. It's only psoles ochel and psoles midrabbanan. And therefore, if you do it the right way by taking the ochel and psoles with your hands to eat right away, it's mutter. And if you do it the wrong way, let's say you take the psoles off the ochel, you take the bad leaves out of the good leaves, then it's only nisr drabbanan. If the psoles is nechal yedei chak, then at worst it can only be nisr drabbanan. Because to be nisr daraisa, it has to be ochel and psoles. We'll get to, first of all, we may or may not. That's, I think, a machlokas. Not I think, I mean, I think everyone thinks machlokas is showing him. But we'll get to that sugya in a moment. Okay, that's an excellent question, and I want to ask that question in a minute. Good. What? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's get back to that in a second. What we've seen so far is that, I think if you wanted to summarize the halachas of Breira, you would say there are three factors, although obviously it's a little more complicated. Maybe there'll be a fourth factor. Okay, but at least right now we're going to deal with three factors. Mainstream, I think let's just say for now there are three. You could leave room for a fourth. Three factors that determine whether something's an Isser of Borer or not. One factor is what the Gemara deals with. Ochel tov soles and yad and ma'alter. What's all of that getting at? All those are one big factor. So what are they all trying to determine? Whether it's derech breira or derech achila. So one factor, then, it's usur if it's derech breira, chayv if it's derech breira, it's mutter if it's derech achila. It's mutter if it's derech achila. And how do we know what's derech breira with derech achila? The way we say is if you have three factors in your favor, then it's derech achila. If you only have two of those, or one of those, or zero of those, then it's derech breira. But doing something derech breira is only usur if you have ochel and psoles. So it's only usur if there's ochel and psoles. Let's say there'd be lettuce. And I'd say, I have a lot of leaves of lettuce. Some of them I'm in the mood to eat, they have the good feng shui, and some of them don't. And I'm devouring them. That's not borer. I have to separate two different things, ochel and psoles. So only if ochel and psoles is borer. If it's ochel and ochel, it's not borer. And what if it's ochel and semi-psoles, royal yedei chak, then it's borer drabbanan. The third factor, which we'll see in a moment, is that it's only borer if it's nisariv, if it's mixed. If I'm separating things that aren't mixed, that's not borer. So it's only borer if I'm taking two things, ochel and psoles, two different things, not ochel and ochel, two different things that are mixed, and I'm separating them derech breira. But if I have all one thing, then no matter what I do, that's mutter. If they're not mixed, no matter what I do, that's mutter. And if I do it derech achila, which is ayal l'sholosh, then no matter what I do, that's mutter. And then we'll have to make the scheme a little more complicated when we see some other sheets. But that's basically what's going on, at least in these seifim. So now let's carry through the next seif or two. Seif beis is fairly uneventful. Haborer ochem mitoch solos biyado. If you take ochem mitoch solos, so that's the good way. Biyado, another good way. But lahanicho, to leave and not eat right away, feel the boy, even for later on that same day, but not la altar. So I have these two factors, but I'm missing the third. Nasik abor laotzer, it says if I'm being borer, just put in the storehouse, and I am chayav midir oraisa. Okay, that's fairly straightforward. That's what we said before. Even if I have two of the factors, if I'm missing the third, the way we paskin, based on the Rambam, use, I think the first one to say this explicitly, but then the other Rishonim started to agree, it is chayav. At least the Rishonim Sfarad started to agree, I'm chayav. Now, the Mishnah Berurah here does say something which I'm not sure if it makes a difference to Halacha Maisa, but I find it very hard to accept. The Mishnah Berurah says something very funny here. In Sif Beis, which is, again, otherwise not full of Chidushim, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'kantes, the psolas mitocha ochel afilu le'alter chayev klame u'mashakaz b'yado huadim b'knom v'tamchoy. When we say that ochel mitoch psolas b'yado lebo b'yom z'asr is chayev, I'm chayev if I use my yad, I'm also chayev if I use a knon and a tamchoy. So Rashi, so the Mishnah Berurah assumes, let's get this combination again, I have knon v'tamchoy. Le'alter, no, sorry, Knom v'tamchoy, lebo bayom, ochel mitoch psolos, the second half of that sentence. The Mishnah Berurah says, I am chayav. What's the logic of the Mishnah Berurah? Why should I be chayav? Well, if I had ochel mitoch psolos lebo bayom biyad, I'd be chayav. So if I'm chayav in my hand, kal v'chomer if I use semi-borer kind of clay. So he thinks that if I'm chayiv even using my hand lebo bayom, tavachomer, I'm chayiv with a kli of knon v'tamchoy. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm chayiv in this case. I think that's what he means. Says, hu adin v'knon v'tamchoy. Pashtos is, that's not true. I'll ask you, let's go back to the original case. Why is knon v'tamchoy only in Isidra Banan and not in Isidra Raisa? You mean, what do you mean it's not derech breira? You mean it's not derech breira because it's like more derech achila? It's like in between yad and... What is Rashi? Rashi used the lashon, very strong lashon. Rashi says, what does Rashi say about kanon and tamchui? He says, patar v'lasher dekel achar yadhu. Patar v'lasher motel achilo havi, damar the breira, chayiv chav v'lasher dekel achar yadhu. Rashi says, kel achar yad. Why is it kel achar yad? Because it's not a normal way of doing borer. Your hand might be normal under some circumstances, right? After all, what does a farmer do? He takes out the pebbles with his hand. And a sifter would be normal. That's how you sift things. But a knon v'tamchoy, just kalachar yad, they're not a normal way of doing this. So kalachar yad, could kalachar yad ever be an issur d'oraisa? Hard to imagine. How could kalachar yad be an issur d'oraisa? And as Rashi says, it's total derech breira. Just kalachar yad. It's a stupid way of doing breira. It's a shinoi way of doing breira. So how could kalachar yad ever be an issur d'oraisa? So I think this Mishnah Berurah is very problematic. I really don't understand why he would say this. Because even though Kanon and Tamchoy is more machmer than Yad, in some ways it's more machmer than Yad because it's a Kli. But in some ways it's more Mekel than Yad. Because Yad, if you do it Lebo Bayom, you'll be Chayev. But Kanon and Tamchoy, you can never be Chayev. Because it's a strange way of doing Borer, so it's always Kalach or Yad.
But why is the Yad Mutter? Because it's not a Kli, because it's also...
Now, so biyad, when you do it lebo bayom ochel mitoch psolos, is not derech breira at all. If you would do it lebo bayom or psolos mitoch ochel, would be total derech breira. Knon v'tamchoy in plain is neutral. It can never be chayek says klacher yad. It can never be mutter because still it's a kli. It's a boredik way, but it's a strange boredik way.
From perspective of derech breira, yad also.
Yeah, you could have said.
No, it's not. How did the farmer take tzuros out of his wheat? How did the farmer take tzuros out of his wheat? With a kli?
Maybe.
No, what the Rabbi Hananel say? Boris defined as biyad. And I think everyone agrees that the farmer takes the tzuras out with his yad. I think everyone agrees to that. So it's not that yad is automatically not derech prayer, it's that yad depends on the other factors. But kanon and tamchoi, even though it seems worse than yad, because it can never be mutter, but in some ways it's better than yad, because it can also, it's in some ways it's worse than yad, because it's a more malachitic way of doing things, you're doing using a kli. But in some ways it's better than yad, because the yad is sometimes the way of doing malacha. Kanon and tamchoi is never the way of doing malacha. What farmer would ever do borer with a funnel in his actual business? But he might sometimes use his yad.
But according to Rashi, he didn't need otter and be yad.
What?
According to Rashi, you need both. One or the other was good enough, right?
Okay, but I don't think it's only Rashi. Let's look at the Lashon of the Mechaber, which is a quote of the Rambam. If you look at the Lashon of the Mechaber very carefully, what does the Mechaber think about this case? If you use a knon and tamchoi for bo bayom. Read from Aleph. Habor ochem mitoch psoles, o shahayu lefanav shnei minei ochlen. If you take ochem mitoch psoles, ubar min min acher, benapot v'kvor achayev, v'knon v'tamchoi pater av'al osser. He starts being mechalik tin la'alter or not. Benapo kvara always chayev. The knova tamchoi always putter. Biyado is mutter la'alter and chayev lavo bayom. The Chaver's lashon is very meduyak. In napa and kvara, he doesn't distinguish between bo bayom la'alter. In knova tamchoi, he doesn't distinguish between bo bayom la'alter. Only in yado he distinguishes. I mean, it's basically black and white. Napa kvar chayev, period. Knova tamchoi pater, period. Avalasar, period. In bir biyado, kedei lachol alter mutter, and if you skip the Raman, just continue the way he wrote, v'abor ochem etop sols biyado an nicho filu b'vayom nasik bor lo osar v'chayev. Biyado, there's a difference. Knova tamchoi, there's no difference. It's always pater avalasar. So it's not that knova tamchoi is worse than yad. It's that it's different than yad. In some ways it's worse than yad, because no matter how you do it, it's always malachadik. So it's never going to be mutter. But in some ways, it's better than yad, because no matter how you do it, it's still not going to be a normal thing a farmer would do. It's still not going to be professional malachas machsheves. It's still going to be kalach yad. So you can never have a shas renisa d'oraisa using a knon and a tamchoi. Now, I know that's not what the Mishnah Berurah is trying to tell us here, but I think it's in Mokhar, both in Rashi and in the Rambam and the Mechaber, against him, that knon and tamchoi, no matter what you did with it, or at the very least, if you did it lebo bayom, it's, I think, pretty mefurish in the Mechaber, that napa kvar chayev, knoma tamchoi pater ol osur, and it doesn't depend when you're doing it for. It's only in yad that it depends when you're doing it for. So yad could be mutter or chayev. Knoma tamchoi is either way pater ol osur, which makes sense. If the Torah, if the logic of knoma tamchoi is that it's a malachic kalachar yad, then you can never be chayev on kalachar yad. No matter how many factors you have, l'chorba, you can never be chayev on kalachar yad because it's still not a malach mashevis. It's not a normal, smart way of doing the malacha. While yad is sometimes not malachadik at all, but sometimes the right way to do the malacha. Everyone knows. A professional sometimes has to be borer biyad. And sometimes you just eat things at home biyad. So that's what I think this Mishnah Berurah, when he says, mashikas biyadu hu adin b'knon v'tamchoi, is not meduyak, and it's not hu adin b'knon v'tamchoi. Biyadu is chayev, but knon v'tamchoi l'chor is pater, at least according to Rashi and the Mechaber and the Rambam, and I haven't seen anyone before who disagrees. Okay, now I think we're ready for Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel. Hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlen me'uravin. Bora echad me'echad me'niach ha'sheni kedei lechol me'yad. Now, there are two main issues in Sif Gimel, as we know. Sif Gimel mainly deals with the issue of shnei minim and the issue of what's called a tarovis. Now, you know, we could sort of tackle those in any order, but let's start with Shnei Minim, because that's really what the Achronim are Medayik in the beginning here. The second time the Rambam said, sort of funny why he has to say it twice, or the Machaber, excuse me, has to say it twice, but I don't have a good answer for that. But he said earlier, Shnei Minim Ochlen, Bor Min Mumino is considered Borer, and it's only much if you do it La'altar, V'chuli. And he says here also, Shnei Minim Ochlen, Muravin, Bor echad me'echad me'niach hashen ki lecho miyad, or bor echad me'echad u'me'niach lecho miyad. Right, that, straight out. You can only do it l'char biyado, he mentioned earlier, and you can only do it le'alter. Now, so let's assume for sure that you can only do it biyado, you can only do it le'alter. How about ochem tov psolis? In Shemini Ochlint, is there a rule of Ochlint mitoch psolus?
So, what happened here? What's the history of this machaber? Hayu l'chon of Shemini Ochlint? Well, let's take a step back then, even before we answer this.
First of all, right? If I just said before that Borer is only if you have Ochlint psolus, why should Shemini Ochlint be a problem at all? It's Ochlint Ochlint. Taka, what's the problem with Shemini Ochlint? So if you look in the Rishali al Atar again, right here in Klal Gadol in this Mishnah, Taka, there's also Machlokas Maran, whether Shnei Miyochlin is a problem or not. It's not so pashut. And in the Bavli, is it so pashut in the Bavli that Shnei Miyochlin is a problem? The Brisa says, how you lefun of Mine Ochlin? There are types of Ochlin. So maybe there are types of Ochlin. You take the Psolus out of the Ochel, or the Ochel out of the Psolus. Who said you're taking one min from another min? So, Tosu says, what's the Girsa? How you the fun of Shnei Mini Ochlin? Our Gemara is actually a little complicated. There's some Echorim I won't get into. First, said Mine, then Shnei Mine. There seems to be different Girsa. There's one Girsa, how you the fun of Mine Ochlin? That might just mean you have types of food. You take the good out of the good part out of the spoiled part, and the spoiled part out of the good part. If you have the Girsa of Mine Ochlin, sure, they're taking apples out of oranges, it's not a problem. You have types of food. Don't take the good from the bad. Who says apples and oranges is a problem? But Tosa says no. We don't have the Girsa of Mini Ochlin. We have the Girsa of Shnei Mini Ochlin. You had exactly two types of food. And then what? You take one type out of the other type. So Tosa quotes Rabbeinu Chanan's Girsa, and we accept that. Right? The Rishonim generally accept this Girsa. The Rabbeinu Chanan, Tosa, many Rishonim say Shnei Mini Ochlin. The Brisa is coming to hint to us, Beferish, that if you have two foods and you separate one from the other, even though they're both Ochel, it's still a problem. And that's exactly what the Mechaber and the Rambam Paskin. Two Mine Ochlin, you take one out of the other, even if they're both good, apples and oranges, they're both good apples and good oranges. Both Roy Lachila Shaloi Deachak, Roy Lachila Lahana. Right? So, it's still a problem. So, why is it a problem? There's no Ochel and there's no Psolus. So, what's the problem? And this, I think, is a very important Chakira. So, what's the problem? There's no Ochel and they're both Ochel. Why should there be a problem? So, what does Tosa say? Tosa says it's all relative. Tosa says, no, there is Ochel and Psolus. You think they're both Ochel, but you're wrong. Because if you have apples and oranges, and you want the apples now, and you don't want the oranges now, even if you like them both. But now you want the apples, and now you don't want oranges. You only want to eat apples now. Then, for you, the apples are Ochel, and the oranges are Psolus. So, if you remember what I said before, it's only borer if one, it's a tarovis, two things are mixed, and two, you have ochel and psoles, and three, it's derech brera, not derech achila. And how do we define derech achila? With derech achila equals yad plus la'alter plus ochel mitoch psoles. Okay. Tosa says, Taka, that's true. It's only bor if there's ochel and psoles. Oh, there's no ochel and psoles and orange and apples. There is. There's a subjective ochel and psoles. So Tosfo says that there's no rule of Shnei Mini Ochlin. It's just a hechitimtz of Ochlin Psolus. No, one hechitimtz of Ochlin Psolus that it's good and spoiled, or the food part and the leaf part. The other hechitimtz of Ochlin Psolus is that there's the thing I want now and the thing I don't want now, but it's all hechitimtz of Ochlin Psolus. However, if you look at the Lashon of the Mechaber and the Rambam, he doesn't give you any hint of that. And the Bir Halacha in a few places. I mean, I'm not going to read each one. I'm just going to put them all together. And, you know, hopefully you put that together as well. He just says, Habor Ochem Adolf Solos, Osho Yilafan of Shnei Mene Ochem Bar Min Mimino, Ha Yilafan of Shnei Mene Ochem Rabim. He just says, you're Bor Min Mimino. The Rambam doesn't say anything about one thing being Ochel and one thing being Solos. He just says, you're Bor Min Mimino. Oh, there's no Ochel and Solos. And, by the way, you'll say this a week deal, so I'll prove to you in a second, that this is really the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that Och Mitoch Psolus is the wrong phrase. It's not ochel mitoch solus. It then has to be a tarovis of two different things. That's what the Rambam would say. What are the only hikitims of the different things? Either you have min echad, which has ochel and psoles, that's two different things, because the ochel and psoles make it two different chaloshems. Or you have shnei minim. Shnei minim is automatically different things, even if they're both ochel. Because they're different minim. Of course they're different things. So for the Rambam, it's a fundamental machlokes Rambam Tosas. Tosas said the definition of the tzur borer is separating ochel from psoles. Just two minim could be a subject of ochel and psoles. The Rambam says the tzur borer is separating two different cheftzes. So ochel and psoles are different cheftzes, but two minim are automatically different cheftzes. They're different minim. How can they be the same thing? Ochel and ochel, the same min, if it's one min and if they're both ochel, then that's not separating. It's not two different cheftzes. Just separating one cheftz in half. So that's a fundamental machlokas. Now, there are at least three nafkaminas I think you can find here of this fundamental machlokas. But what's the machlokas really about? The machlokas is about why is two mina musr? Again, let's assume, right? So let's assume that I boxed myself into a corner there. So let's assume, like argues in the Bavli, right? That Hoyle from Shnei Minei Ochel Rabirer Min Mitoch Min is Usser, not only Usser, but it's Chayiv, right? So we have two different Shatim. According to Tosfos, it's because it's Ochel and Psoles. According to the Rambam, it's just Stam because it's two Minim. It's just Stam two Minim. Now we could think there would be a big nafkamina between the Rambam and Tosfos. What if I have apples and oranges? So I'm not allowed to separate the apples from the oranges, but what if I use my hand to separate the apples and oranges? And I'm about to eat them right away. And I'm ready to eat the apples right away, and I'm using my hand. Can I take the oranges out, or do I have to take the apples out? So what does the Shulchan Aruch say here? What's the lashon? The lashon is, sorry, Hayulafan of Shneim Niochum Ravim Bor Echa Me Echa Me Niach Hasheni Kedei Lachol Miyad. What's that Hasheni Kedei? Right, that's in parentheses. Right, someone added that in to the lashon of the Mechaber and the Rambam. So the Mechaber wrote Hayulafan of Shneim Niochum Ravim Bor Echa Me Niach Lachol Miyad, and the Bor Echa Me Echa Me Niach Lachol Miyad. And the Ramah added in Hasheni Kedei. What's the difference here? What did he mean? Why did he feel the need to add in Hasheni Kedei? What is that changing? I mean, again, this is not my tradition. This is all from the Mishnah Brura and the Magen Avraham. What does it mean the way we have it? With the extra words, it means Bor Echad Me Echad Umeiniach Hasheni. You have to separate them and leave the second one to eat right away. You have to leave the second one. What does it mean, leave the second one? What's first and what's second? Meaning you take what you want, and you have to leave what you don't want. You have to leave what you don't want. Meaning, you have to take what you want and leave what you don't want. That's what the Ramah, right, added in. The first nafkamina is, can you take what you don't want? The Achronim will explain. The Ramah says, no, meiniach hasheni. You have to leave the second one and take the first one. First is what you want first. Second is what you want second on some other day. So the Rabbi Yochanan is saying the Ramah was following Tosfos, right? He was Ashkenazi. He says, look, it's an inyan of ochel and psoles. So if the inyan of ochel and psoles, we all know you have to take the ochel and leave the psoles. If you took the psoles, that's an ishud araisa. Therefore, you have to take the ochel and meiniach hasheni. But what's the original lashon of the Mechaber, quoting the Rambam? You separate one from one, and then you put it down to eat. You separate one from one, echad me echad. Does he say which echad from echad? The same equal lashon, echad me echad. You separate one from one. Doesn't matter which you separate. You just separate one from one. So the Mechaber, based on the Rambam, would say, yes, echad me echad. Either way is okay. You can take ochel from soles, you could take solace from Ochel. Why? Because if he holds the Isra Shneimini Ochlin has no Ochlin Psolus, just two Minim, then separate the two Minim. But if the Ramah holds it's a Chalos Ochlin Psolus, then of course you have to take the Ochel out and leave the Psolus. That's how the Bir Halacha and the Mishnah Brura explained this Machlok, because how do we paskin? So we paskin like the Ramah. We're Ashkenaz, we're Machlok like the Ramah. The Ramah stuck in his Chumra, Hashini Kadeh. You have to take what you want and leave what you don't want. And that's a word, machra like tosla, is considered ochel and psolas. You have to take the ochel and leave the psolas. So if I have apples and oranges, and I want to serve apples, I have to take the apples and leave the oranges, and if I do the opposite, then I'm in big trouble. What about, there's another machloka, there's another nafkamina. This is the suffix of the prima gadol. What about this interesting question? This, I was just thinking about this the other day. My son has this game. Doesn't really matter what it's called. Forget about these fancy games. I mean, even in the old days, right? Everyone played chess in the old days. There's black pieces and white pieces. When I'm putting away the chess, so how do you normally put, if you're a neat, organized person, how do you normally put away your chess game? You put the black pieces on, well, depends how fancy it is. You put the black pieces on one side, the white pieces on the other side, right? If you have a game, my son has a game with red and blue and green and yellow pieces, there's four boxes, one to store the red, one for the blue. Or any game like that, you have different pawns. You put each in their own place. That's the neat way of doing things. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So Prima got into the Suffolk about this. Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Prima got into the Suffolk. What's the happening you should be allowed to do it on Shabbos? So put it away, use next week. What's the happening you should be allowed to do it on Shabbos? Who should be matter? Prima got into the Suffolk, right? Suffolk of the Prima got into. What if you have Bayes Minim? Two different things, but they're both equally wanted. Can anyone claim that I want the white pieces of the chess before the black pieces of the black and not the white? By definition, I want them both in their own place. Any game where I split them up by colors. The whole point is that I want all the colors equally in their place. So is that a problem if I want them all equally? So, the Bir Halacha suggests what's the lum. This Prima got into the Suffolk. It says, what's the lum? Lum says, Pashat, according to Tosfos Neramah, it should be mutter. Why? Because there's really no problem to Minim. There's only a problem of Ochel and Psolas. So, apples and oranges I can call Ochel and Psolas. I want the apples, I don't want the oranges now. In 10 minutes, it'll be different. Right now, I want the apples, not the oranges. But if you want them equally, the white pieces and the black pieces, the green and the red and the yellow, I can't possibly think of how I want one more than the other. I play with them at the same time, they just need to be separate. There's no possible way of wanting one more than the other. Therefore, if there's no Ochel and Psolus, there should be Heter Gomer. But according to the Mechaber and the Rambam, at the Bir Halacha, he basically says, I don't think he says it in this black and white, but he basically says this Tali and this Chakira. According to the Mechaber and the Rambam, there's an Isser of two Minim, because they're two Minim. So here also it's two Minim, so even though they're exactly equal, who cares? It's still two Minim. It should be also to be Borer for, you know, for if it's not La'alta, for use later on. And what?
Assuming that they're two Minim.
Now you could ask, are they in fact two Minim or not? But let's assume they're two Minim. Because you Davka need to use the white pieces separately and the black pieces separately. So let's assume we can call that two Minim for now. Not so Pashim, but that's the post assume. So, but the same be true of apples and oranges. Oh, forget, even better. Silverware. Can I sort silverware? Right? Now, do I want the forks more than the knives, more than the spoons? No, I want them all equally. I just want them separate so I can set the table normally. I set the table with all of them at once. It's not, they may be different. If I had, like, knives mixed with some obscure piece of silverware that my aunt took out that I would never use. But if I had knives and forks and spoons, I use them all equally. I put them all on the table together. I just like them in different categories. So, silverware. Can I sort the silverware? According to the Ramah, sure it should be mother to sort the silverware. Because there's no Ochel Psolus. They're all equal to me. But according to the Mechaber and the Rambam, it's two Minim. Forks and knives are different shapes of metal. They're different heftses. So therefore, it should be usher. What are we paskal Ochel Maisik? I realize we have to end, and then we'll get back to this in the middle of this mark. We are machmir. We're not consistent. We're machmir both ways in the end. We're macro like the Ramah, but we're also macro like the Mechaber, and therefore we're choshesh that sorting silverware is a problem. We don't sort silverware, even though they're equal, because we're choshesh that two mina might be usser, even if there's no Ochel and Psolus. Just two cheftas might be an isser. However, Ravad Yosef, and it's true about sorting silverware, where he's macro in the end, Ravad Yosef says, look, it's a sniff lahakil, even if I'm not going to be making like Gamre to say you can sort things that are equally desirable, but it's a sniff lahakel, so together with other smaras, he used it to find a cool little sort, silverware. So in and of itself, we're makir both ways on this takira, but it's certainly a sniff lahakel, especially since the Ramah, even for him, but certainly for us, since the Ramah lachor should be matter this. It's a suffix that you've got. So even without one, this is sniff lahakel, but it should be totally on this one, this, which I think is what the Bir Halacha is trying to say.
It's not enough to call it.
No, we're talking about like after you wash the dishes, you put them in the drawer.
No, but that means I'm putting it on the knife.
No, that's not enough. The fact that I just can't put them all inside, first of all, that's probably not what I'm doing. I probably just take them all out and then put them, whichever way, it doesn't matter which way I do it. Lemaisa, although we'll see that it might next time. Lemaisa, I don't think that would make a difference because that's just because I can't put them all away simultaneously, not because I want one before I want the other.
Okay, we'll continue. Thanks, Rabbi.
Off.
Is it
press.
Ah, okay.
Anything?
Good.